Thanks, Rob. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, here we go. Big speech tonight from Mayor Rahm Emanuel, his public safety address. This was really a special speech as he takes on the issue of violence and crime here in the city of Chicago, something that was not necessarily planned, meaning it wasn't like the state of the city or some annual speech. This was something that was put on
a couple weeks ago
to say that this was something that the mayor believed he needed to address. In studio with me tonight, Mike Fouché. He is the man behind Daily Line. You can find it at thedailyline.net. Mike, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Also in studio with me, Mark Payne. He's the executive director of Ceasefire Illinois. Mark, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about this, guys. Mike, you were at Malcolm X College. What's your first sort of initial reaction when it comes to Mayor Emanuel's speech tonight?
So the speech was put in a gymnasium at Malcolm X College, and it's a brand new building, brand new everything. It's a brand new college, and so the mayor really wanted to make sure that everybody got that message. And it was a partitioned off, and they had, you know, all these drapes and stuff so that it was just that area. And there were maybe about 400 people in the room. I counted about 350 seats, and there's a whole bunch of other people that are there. And when you look at the group of people that were there, there were some community leaders that were there. I saw Reverend Richard Tolliver, Reverend Marshall Hatch. I saw Craig Chico from Back of the Yards Neighborhood Association. But it was a lot of aldermen. It was a lot of aldermen. It was a lot of city staff, a lot of commissioners. The mayor had a whole bunch of people sitting up on the stage, and it was Andrea Zopp, you know, his deputy mayor. It was Forrest Claypool, the head of CPS. It was Dr. Morita, the head of the Department of Public Health. So, and of course, the police superintendent.
So,
well,
essentially, his cabinet.
Pretty much. And so the room was really very friendly. It was his people. And they, every time that he got to an applause mark in the speech, we were given the speech, the press was given the speech in advance. Every time you got to an applause point, everyone hit their mark and applauded. There was no surprises. It was a very friendly room. It wasn't like giving a speech to Congress where somebody might stand up and yell, "You lie," or something like that.
No Joe Walsh's in the audience.
Joe Walsh's. Right. So, you know, from that perspective, it was a pretty easy sailing for him. And the speech that he gave was he was talking about creating more jobs in poorer communities in Chicago. He was talking about giving more technology and more training for police officers. He was talking about trying to pass better gun control laws in the state house. And he was talking about adding more community social services in Chicago's poorer neighborhoods, but no mention of police reform.
I'm interested, and I have I kind of set the whole hour up at the beginning about whether or not this was a policy speech, public safety policy, or whether this was a political speech for Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Obviously, flat out political.
Yeah, I mean, he had a number of things that he was there to introduce, but you know, we heard earlier this week the big thing that he's doing, which is that he's going to hire more police officers over the next year. That is the big policy thing that he's announced. Everything else today, you know, he's putting together some money for jobs and stuff like that.
Let's bring in Mark Payne. Mark, what did you think? What was your initial reaction to the speech?
You know, when I first I listened to it, I didn't go to the speech, but when I listened to it, it reminded me of his inaugural speech.
Very much so.
In May of 2015, it reminded me same themes. It was a rallying cry almost. It was right to rally around the city around violence and the issues. But it was that speech. It was, you know, prevention, enforcement, investment, with those themes. But it was some of the same things that we've seen before and that he's done before. But it was almost a rallying cry to say we need to come together. But he also said that if you heard the speech in May 2015, it was similar.
So this was like almost like a refresher in the way that he's going to the same sort of talking points that he seems to be really being that's what his administration's about.
He's been very consistent in saying that there needs to be more job creation in poor neighborhoods of Chicago. He's been very consistent about saying there needs to be more social service support in communities. He's a big fan of an organization called Becoming a Man.
Yeah, BAM.
And, you know, he spoke about them, and there were representatives from them there. And he spoke about that at his inaugural.
Yep.
And he spoke about
that
in his big crime speech earlier this year in the spring. So,
but I mean, again, you just said it. I mean, he talked about. I mean, what I'm hearing from the text and what I, you know, initial reaction is, okay, you know what? This sounds, as you just mentioned, sounds very familiar. Where's the action?
You know, and I thought about that too. I thought about BAM. I thought about police. I thought about the subjects that he brought up. And I thought when he talked about BAM and he talked about mentoring, those are very good points that he made. But if we're talking about the highest risk young men, we're talking about true engagement. So we're talking about a level of engagement and quality of engagement. You know, some people throw engagement as around as a catchphrase. We're going to engage, community engagement.
Yeah, right.
But what does that really mean? How do you get to those young men who are disengaged? If we're talking about young men, so if we're talking about getting them back and mentoring them, they're not listening to speeches. They're not in school. They're out of work. So BAM is a great program. Those guys are in school. But for the guys who are not in school, how do we get to them? How do we become more comprehensive? How do we do bottom up, not top down? So I think this is really an opportunity, for lack of a better word, to engage more, you know, the community organizations at a deeper level. I think community organizations should push a little bit.
Well, I want to get at that. I think that coming up here in the next segment, let's talk about community engagement and community groups and how this plays out. All these words that were thrown out and some of the emotion. And we'll also go over some of the, you know, as I mentioned, and you, Mike, say flat out political speech. How did he do for a political speech? He had a lot of emotion. He choked up at different times. We'll talk about the actual performance of the mayor tonight in his public safety address. 312-981-7200. 847 says, little late. It's been 3 years. 847 also says, nothing new, nothing bold, nothing.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. There
well,
you go.
I think it was more than nothing.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. So that's what we'll pick up on nothing. Coming up here after the break, Mark Payne and Mike Fouché in studio. Stay with us. (312) 981-7200. What do you think of Mayor Emanuel's public safety address? Let us know, text or call here on the Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me, Mike Fouché from the Daily Line. And Mark Payne, who's the executive director at Ceasefire Illinois. I'm going to ask you both this question because I think that, you know, what we heard from the speech, we kind of talked in the first segment about what the mayor was trying to get across, what he was trying to accomplish. What wasn't in the speech, Mike? What needed to be or what wasn't in the actual speech?
Police reform. You know, that has been the big story over the last few weeks. There's a few levers that the mayor can really pull. One, he pulled earlier this week. He's going to hire a whole bunch of cops and he's going to put it into the budget. Okay, ka-chunk. The mayor can really do that. Two, mayor can be the bully pulpit going around the country trying to bring jobs to Chicago. So mm-hmm. he says he's going to do more of that. But the real thing that everyone is waiting for with bated breath, and this is what people have been fighting about and angry about since the spring, is police reform. We know that there is an ordinance. We saw it a couple weeks ago that the mayor is trying to move around and that they've been discussing as a draft ordinance. It misses a number of big, important things, and we can get into that later. But a lot of advocacy groups don't like it at all, and a lot of aldermen don't like it at all. The mayor has said that he wants to pass it October 5th at the city council meeting on October 5th. And they announced that they're going to have a committee meeting on October 3rd, and then that they're going to vote on it on October 5th.
Right?
and this morning we reported that that this ordinance is floating around and that nobody has really seen it. And then this morning the mayor's office briefed a small group of people, about a half dozen community advocate groups. And we asked them what happened in this meeting, you know, can you share what happened? And apparently the mayor's office read our story and knows that we're paying close attention to them, and they swore everybody in the meeting to secrecy.
Well, it's interesting, too. I mean, the other thing that wasn't in this speech that I think everybody was anticipating was this the social element where he had the Sun-Times was reporting that he was talking to different community groups about going after absentee fathers, to talk about, you know, different things that are happening in the African-American community. And that didn't show up in this speech.
He got a lot of pushback.
Is it because of the pressure?
You know, I think it was because of the pressure, but I think he did he did a good thing with mentioning the groups that are already doing something. So, I mean, you can't dismiss what African-American men and women have been doing in their communities for years. I mean, the misconception is that there's nothing, nobody cares, or people aren't doing anything, or they aren't going block to block. He mentioned those groups that were doing that. But the thing from my perspective, being executive director of Ceasefire, I was looking for the how. Like, I want to, we work to, with these, the highest risk young men, and we want to save them. We want to change behavioral norms so guys aren't violent anymore. So for me, it was the how. How are we going to do this?
Right.
And I think community organizations are going to start to say, how? How's that $36 million
investment? Let's get into that, because that, I mean, he's talking about an investment. He's talking about more resources in the community. He really put the onus on corporate citizens, the private sector, to say, okay, you know what, they're going to step up, they're going to give money. Is that something that you think is realistic for
fighting
crime?
It's realistic because it's Get in Chicago. I mean, in 2013, Get in Chicago did $54 million. So there were a number of corporate groups that invested and that continue to invest. So I think it was a good announcement. I think we have to see how. I think we have to see data and work with the groups that can get to these young men who are the highest risk.
Well, let's put it in perspective for these corporate organizations. All of them have corporate giving programs. All of them have certain programs where they give a certain amount of money. They budget it every year. It's not like they got to reach under the couch cushions in order to find the money. They know that they're going to do these sort of programs, and so the Emmanuel's job is to go claim a chunk of it that he can. I don't think that what we're seeing yet at this point is, we haven't seen any evidence of the mayor really twisting arms and saying, if you're going to do business in Chicago, you got to be able to do this.
Right. Do you see that? I mean, has this sort of, this speech is as almost like the blueprint for him to do so? I mean, is that the action we're looking for him to twist arms to get more money from corporate America?
He's never committed. He's never said that he would do anything like that. And the speech today was really him thanking people for participating in programs that he's done. Mm-hmm. The shout outs that he did for Bank of America and Jimmy John's and other folks were, thank you for being part of, and Howard Schultz from Starbucks, thank you for all the things that you've done so far. You know, this isn't new stuff.
Yeah, it was also to share, this is what I'm doing. It was a rallying cry to say, I care about violence. People have said, why are you silent? He's telling them, I care about violence. I've gone in communities. I've talked to people. I'm working with the police superintendent. He mentioned Superintendent Eddie Johnson's name a number of times to say, we're hiring new officers. Not only are we hiring new officers, we're gonna change the way we train them. We're going to bring in new field training officers. So it was to say that I'm doing something, that I'm working. I think community organizations and communities have to say, okay, how is that going to work? How do we work with you? How does it, you know, become a bottom-up process? And how do communities and the mayor's office work together on getting some of this stuff
Mark,
done?
Mark, I want to ask you a question. Do you
think
that there is a throughput issue for the police academy? Are they going to be able to train up 500 police officers in a year?
You know what? That is, I haven't been over there in a while. I think that the police academy, to push a class through, it has to be comprehensive. And those classes are packed in the way they have to get people in and out. So, I mean, that becomes the question. Can they do it? How many classes are going on right now? You know, what's the schedule? So I think Eddie Johnson, Superintendent Johnson, has a big, you know, job on his hands to push those guys through.
How long does it take for somebody to go through the police academy?
You know, I can't remember. I think I couldn't tell you right now off the top of my head.
But it's not like 2 years.
No, it's not 2 years. I mean, you're putting classes through. I don't know if it's a couple months, but they're going through a number of things. They have to be, you know, really well trained. And if we're talking about community policing, if we're talking about a new way to deal with communities, we have to ask what's different about that.
847 says, what about a concept like public works? You know, teach a skill, work in a neighborhood, get some pride of ownership, like an FDR program. You know, take specific neighborhoods, 3 or 4 different neighborhoods, all local temp hires, men 18 to 30, this kind of thing, where, like, why isn't the mayor doing that kind of, like, very specific, like you mentioned, like the how?
Yeah, it sounds like Ceasefire to me. I mean, people don't look at Ceasefire as that, but for me, We work with credible messengers, ex-offenders, ex-street organization guys to make sure that we get to the highest risk. And they're from the neighborhoods where they serve. And so, you know, just a plug, because we do great work, we're independently evaluated. We have, the state gave us $4.5 million, and we recently have started to ask the council members for $5 million. We want $5 million from the city, $5 million from the state to do that kind of work, and we're doing it now.
Are you seeing, because violence has become top of mind here in Chicago, where everyone from even downstate Springfield, this becomes the issue, do you feel like the lawmakers and the people that are holding the purse strings are listening to you, are saying, okay, there needs to be more money put to violence, there needs to be more money put into these communities?
Yes, they are. They are listening. The state legislation, they listened, and they gave us $4.5 million. I think that we need to have more conversation about a comprehensive approach with health at the center. Mm-hmm. To say, how are we really sustaining when these young men make a decision to change the trajectory of their lives and to change their neighborhoods? How are we helping to sustain that? And so that's what we have to have the conversation about.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news with Rob Martier. But I want to come back to that, because I think getting a concept and an understanding that when a young man makes the choice to say, I don't want to be a gangbanger anymore, I don't want to be on the street, What are the options for that person? I mean, are they success stories? Are they failing in the sense that they're coming right back to where they were before because it's just comfortable, or that's where money is, things of that nature? So we'll talk more about that. Mark Payne is the executive director of Ceasefire Illinois. Mike Fouché, thedailyline.net. We're talking about the public safety address that Mayor Rahm Emanuel delivered today at Malcolm X College. We'll continue the conversation right after the news. Stay with us. Thank you, Rob. It's the download here, 720 WGN. Mike Fouché in studio. He's the man behind the dailyline.net. Joins us every week here. Mark Payne is the executive director of Ceasefire Illinois. He's in studio. We're talking about Mayor Rahm Emanuel's public safety address tonight at Malcolm X College, which was earlier tonight. Joining us on the line now, Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin, 1st District, covers the West Side. Violence has been a big issue for the commissioner, and he has been on the program before talking about it. Commissioner, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Justin, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on with you.
All right, so let me ask you, what did you think of the speech tonight? Give us your reaction to Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
It was basically a recitation of his inaugural speech. Overall, the speech was a good diagnosis of what has caused these problems, but the jury is still out on whether the treatment plan is going to work. His administration has failed in this department. This speech is a year too late. He's been moving with all the speed and agility of an ocean liner since the Laquan McDonald episode. But he was short on detail, short on in terms of how we're going to get there. People are looking for action. People are frustrated in the neighborhoods. They're angry. And he hasn't focused on the 9 most endangered communities out of the 77 neighborhoods: Alston, West Garfield Park, West Englewood, Riverdale, Auburn Gresham, Gage Park, Washington Park, Fuller Park, and North Lawndale. These are communities that have lacked investment for decades. And so we got to invest in those neighborhoods. We got to create jobs in those neighborhoods. And we got to give people real hope.
But he did talk about jobs, though, Commissioner. He did talk about jobs a little bit.
He talked about it a little bit, but he didn't get into the details. And he didn't focus on these neighborhoods that have been neglected.
You were giving the speech, what would the headline of your speech be? If you were mayor for the day, what would your speech be?
Action. We're gonna get this done. We're gonna solve this violence problem in Chicago. It is not insurmountable. This thing can be solved. The reality of it is that we've had nearly 1,000 people killed in the last almost 2 years, and we've had over 6,000 people shot. Now, this finally, the mayor's come to the realization that gun violence is the number one issue confronting Chicago. This should have been the realization last year. So I applaud him for the speech, but I heard a lot of the same themes in his inaugural address.
Let me ask you, Commissioner, about the move to hire more police officers. This is something that you've talked about and talking about bringing the state police in or trying to bring more resources to the communities. Do you think that adding the extra police officers is that step in the right direction? Is that action that sort of just preceded the political speech?
Look, I think it's action as long as the police have the right training. I mean, and that they are deployed in a strategic manner. Look, if you just add police and they don't have the training and they don't respect the community, then that can be a recipe for disaster. That can be a powder keg situation like what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, or in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we don't want that kind of situation here in Chicago. Also, we need police reform. I mean, the mayor has not pushed through totally on police reform. And so we got to have that as well.
So I'm curious, do you feel that you represent the west side of Chicago and the western suburbs? Do you feel, Commissioner, that he has credibility in your community? Do people believe the speech like tonight is something that's meaningful to them? Do people on the west side of Chicago say, yeah, the mayor's on it, he gave a speech?
People are looking for action. They're looking for action. They're looking for somebody who's going to come in and provide some hope. Let me tell you, and Justin, I said it on your show before, the west side of Chicago has lost thousands of jobs. Sears and Roebuck Company used to be headquartered on the west side. Brock's Candy Company, thousands of jobs gone. International Harvester, thousands of jobs. Western Electric, Dell Computer Company. And I can go on and name them. All the jobs that have gone, guess what? Nothing's come to replace them. West of Western, and this is a
so
fact.
Is this all Rahm Emanuel's fault? I'm asking you, is this Rahm Emanuel's fault? Does he have credibility in your community?
Well, look, this is decades of disinvestment in communities, and these have been intentional policies. Rahm Emanuel shares the blame for the time that he's been in the mayor's seat. I don't think he's got much credibility on the west side of Chicago. Ever since he fought hard to not have the Laquan McDonald tape released. So I think he's lost a lot of credibility.
Commissioner Richard Boykin is the commissioner in the 1st District, covers the west side, the western suburbs, joins us tonight. Commissioner, thanks for checking in and giving us a reaction to the speech.
Thank you so very much. Honored to be there.
There we go. All right, Commissioner Richard Boykin, who has really made a big issue about violence on the west side. He's got he put the big report out. He was pushing for a violent.
Yeah, he's living in it.
And it is interesting though that there's just this pushback to talk is over. You know, there's been a lot of people said this is a good thing that there's a speech and the mayor is taking this upon himself to do a special speech. It's not something that was planned 2 years in advance. It's not like an inauguration where you make that speech. This is something he did because the city is hurting. I mean, are people just done with words? I mean, the cynicism that you hear from the commissioner and you hear a lot from the texters and the people that are calling in tell me that action is obviously speaking louder than words.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Mark, you've been saying the same stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've heard a lot about raising up people in the community. We've heard a lot about how there needs to be more investment in the community. But, you know, I think the Mayor Emanuel is, whether it's that he hasn't been able to convince corporations to come to Chicago or he's not doing the full job, it's hard to know because a lot of this happens behind closed doors and you don't really get anything until there's a deal signed somewhere. But there hasn't been, you know, you're not seeing a big corporation moving into the west side. You're not seeing a lot of new development on the south side. There are some things that are happening in Pullman and Roseland, and that's good investment. But, you know, Englewood and Lawndale, you know, Lawndale, I am still perplexed. You know, Lawndale's right next to rail. It has these huge open industrial-ready spaces. It's right next to the expressway. It should be a great place for a big factory. I'm honest to God.
Well, 847 just called it out. I mean, what business is going to move into a neighborhood that has, if rightfully so or wrongfully so, the sort of stigma of having trouble like gun violence? I mean, do you have to clean up the violence and gun violence before you can get businesses to move into community?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, just to talk about, we've been dealing with this issue, my friends and I and people, you know, who grew up in these neighborhoods and who love these neighborhoods. Let's not, you know, so when you talk to, you know, I was in high school around in the 90s. I mean, and we've been dealing with the same issue for decades.
Right.
Gun violence, you know, and so people are frustrated, deservedly so. They're frustrated. So they do want action and they do push and they should push. That's democracy. So, you know, when people get upset about, you know, well, did the speech go okay? Did it? People are tired. They should push. That's what it's about. They live in this city. They want investment. And I think that conversation should happen. The how. I think we should start pushing how.
And I mean, you mentioned, I mean, the 90s. I mean, you talk about gun violence being I mean, it's been consistent for decades here in Chicago, in the same communities. How do you eradicate this problem, or at least limit it or decrease it? I mean, when it's something that, that hasn't just popped up in the last year, it's not something that's brand new that everybody's scratching their head. They know it.
You do it, one, with consistency, not up and down plans for neighborhoods. This is a long, pervasive issue. And I think you have to attack this issue from a health perspective. You have to say, we want communities whole and healthy. And so when you do that, you're not looking at it from a political perspective. You're not looking at it from a policing perspective. Let's lock everybody up. That hasn't worked. And so what you need to do is say, what's a comprehensive long-term plan?
Do you want to hear that from the mayor? Would it be better for the mayor to come out with a report that says, here's my 10-year plan?
Actually, I think from the social services perspective, it would be better to hear from the governor. Because most of that stuff is through the state, not the city.
Do you want to hear from politicians, though, that they say, here's my 10-year plan, well, my long-term plan?
I think that, well, to go to the point about the governor, I mean, you know, social services in Illinois are hamstrung, and a lot of them are shutting down. The smaller, you know, there's a lot of these small social service agencies that aren't very big. They run out of a storefront, and a lot of these neighborhoods, you know, maybe they get $150,000-$200,000 a year grant, which isn't that much money, by the way, and they aren't getting paid by the state, and so they're shutting down. And all these little organizations that go into these neighborhoods, they're getting closed.
Here's what you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear that communities aren't doing anything about the issue, mm-hmm. and you don't want to hear constantly, you know, badgering communities and saying you need to do more when bad policy created these communities. So decades of bad policy created a lot of these issues. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to necessarily be preached to about what you're not doing, because you do have a lot of people, including myself, who love these neighborhoods and who do things every day to make them better. So you don't want to hear, you know, that nobody's doing anything.
Let me ask you, I'm fascinated by the idea of working with high-risk kids, mm-hmm. and kids who are a part of illegal drug trade, who are in gangs, who are the shooters. And we've had people on talking about that concept. You know, for you and Ceasefire, I mean, that's the heart and soul of what you guys are doing. Have you noticed a change in the way that kids are approaching violence and gangs? And, I mean, we've talked about the rates going up, and 2016 is bigger than 2015, bigger than 2010 years. I mean, are you noticing a change on the streets as you're trying to sort of deal with conflict resolution?
Yes, you're noticing a change. I mean, you know, in the 90s, you didn't have Facebook. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have a violent situation being tweeted out in seconds and people going back to the scene to deal with that violent situation. You had more infrastructure. Whether it was loose infrastructure in communities, whether it was schools, you know, and people to deal with those issues. So we are seeing a change. But what we also are seeing through, you know, independent evaluations is that this one-on-one relationship through credible messengers, it works. So you're seeing that it works. And so, you know, if you look at the stats, it says 3 out of 4 African Americans are touching the justice system. So we can't go these other folks. We have to engage. We have to work with that population, you know, because a lot of our friends are that population. Right. So it works. That's what we're seeing when we are properly invested.
It's the idea of the one-on-one being able to, and you hear Mayor Emanuel talking about the concept of mentoring, the concept of getting men to go and talk to young
men. And that was a big
men.
Part of his speech tonight.
Right, and that he really believes in this.
And one of the things is that when you look at, you know, when the shootings happen and or where they happen and what they happen, I think that what we can do is get to those places. And so you have to know people to get in those places and change the behavior. Things that police can't do and some other organizations mm-hmm. necessarily just don't do. They work inside a social construct. They work in the schools. They work in these institutions. Our guys go. They canvass every day. They're all called 24/7. They're at the hospitals when somebody is shot or stabbed or beat up, and they're stopping retaliatory violence. So you have them in places and in, you know, incredible places to say, let's change this behavior. And I think some of that's what's missing. These other groups, great. I mean, you need a comprehensive approach.
Right.
But you need health at the center.
If the mayor turns this to action and the community groups are really a big part of the plan for him to take on gun violence in Chicago, what has to happen? Does it become sort of a government? Is it become social services? Does it become mandated? Is there accountability there for when, you know, we saw with the Governor Quinn situation?
Well, one of the things that we've been missing a lot of is that, you know, police officers say we're the first social services responders that show up in places. And they're very upset about that. But they also haven't received a lot of training. And so supposedly that's something that we're going to get more, how to deal with people with mental illness, how to deal with people that are not necessarily threatening, and so the police don't escalate the situation. I think those are important things. I think the mayor certainly can figure out a way to integrate social services more with policing that's going on in communities. That's certainly something that he can do. But that's a money issue, too.
All right, last question here. What is next? I mean, usually when a president or a governor makes a speech, the next thing he's doing is, you know, going from town to town and sort of rallying the troops. Are we going to see Mayor Emanuel stay on this topic and go from neighborhood to neighborhood and continue to make this his top priority issue in the months to come?
I think you're going to see organizations, and I hope you see organizations call on the mayor's office and say, how does this work? How do we work, you know, and how can you invest in things that work? The mayor's office released a public safety plan with the community maybe a couple years ago. So some of this stuff is in there. And I think they've worked with community groups to make some of these things happen. But you will see some of that. But I think the other side, you have to go. People have to think about this rallying cry about violence and what it is and say, what is the investment? You talked about the investment. And you just, you know, made a point about, do people really want to invest in communities where there's violence?
Right, right.
And I was just reminded of Oprah Winfrey went to the West Side when it was a terrible place. So a number of groups will go, but you have to start having those conversations. And there has to be a push from the community. It has to be bottom up. Let's meet. Let's talk. It doesn't only come from the mayor.
But pastors and neighborhood organizations I've spoken to, I think that he doesn't have a lot of credibility with it.
Mm-hmm.
About a month or so ago, the mayor invited a group of pastors to come get a briefing on his police reform ideas. And I know of maybe half a dozen pastors that said, no, thank you. I'm not going to come to any of these anymore. So I think he's got a real challenge. He's got next time that he goes and he wants to have a meeting with these people, he's going to have to show up with something in hand that's tangible and real that they're going to be able to do. Next week, though, we're going to see the mayor's probably going to try and pass his police reform. And, you know, we'll see exactly what that's going to be.
Interesting. Mike Fouché from thedailyline.net. Mark Payne is the executive director of Ceasefire Illinois. Gentlemen, thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks
sir.
A lot.